Insights with Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insights with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
We're here. Insight, Jack Stogler, Rocker Bond Villain.
Hello.
Very good. And in studio, the Village Administrator of Fort Recovery, Mr. Randy Diller. Hello, RD.
Hey, Zach.
So how's things going?
It's going good.
Good?
It's going good.
Town's doing well?
Town is moving along well, yes.
Good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about some of the projects that are wrapping up and what we've got planned for the rest of this year and maybe into 2020. But first, it's rocker time.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yes. So, Rocker, I've got a question for you.
Shoot.
You threw out the Norman Lear thing last week.
Well, actually, it's Brigham Young, but sure.
So you don't have any little tidbits like me, like that for me this week, right?
Let's hope not.
All right, so what's on Rucker's agenda?
Let's do a little on this day for you. 1919, the Reds, kind of ironic. Reds beat the White Sox 5-3 which was called the Black Sox scandal.
And what happened?
Well, it turned out to be it was a fifth series.
Featuring who?
Well, mainly the White Sox.
So, who?
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
That's right.
Yep.
That was what I was looking for. Did, like, you know that?
Yes.
What was the name of the movie that...
8 Men Out.
Very good. I should have known he would know the movie.
Yeah, he didn't wait till he finished asking the question.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Key.
Which was the last time the Reds won the World Series.
Yeah. 1990.
Who's our manager?
Lou Piniella, Sweet Lou.
He's good, ain't he?
He's on top of his game.
When was the last time the Indians won the pennant?
I wasn't alive.
Is that right?
That is correct. We won the pennant. We've never won the World Series since I've been alive.
So, have they won the World Series?
Oh, yeah.
Before?
Yeah, they've got four or five in there.
When was the last time?
1946.
That was before you were...
Little before I was born.
I'll be damned. I'd never guessed that.
That's nice, Jack. So you're saying he looks older than he is. That's what it sounds like you're saying. And I don't think that's true at all.
And he'd be probably right.
We all do.
And we just lost our guest.
There you go.
Have we ever had a guest walk out on us? Not yet.
No, but it's coming. When you go into your top 10 list and you start including adult actresses and things, at some point...
Well, we just had that a few weeks ago. And
I know, and we had a nice young lady in here. I think it was a new elementary principal.
Yeah. Yep.
You scared the hell out of her. She'll never come back. So, all right, next.
I was just doing my little bit. 1926, NBC is formed.
Stands for...
National Broadcasting Corporation.
And their symbol?
The peacock.
Why?
No clue.
Neil?
I know.
Yeah.
In living color, they spread the peacock spread its tail feathers, and there is all the colors. So that it wasn't always that peacock.
Do you know that this is the most educational show since Mr. Rogers?
It's probably one of the most educational shows on Fort Recovery Radio. One of the top three.
I don't know. I've listened to the practice squad. That's yeah. Educational.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Different kind of educational, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but they're pretty good. They're pretty funny.
1941, this is a little more serious. FDR approves a program that would become... the Manhattan Project.
Which was?
The atomic bomb.
Very good. So why was it called the Manhattan Project?
I'm guessing it was planned in New York.
Nope.
Neil?
I don't know. I think they just needed to come up with a name. I've never heard why it was that.
The atomic bomb was discovered by a man named Earl Manhattan.
You're not buying that, are you, Rocker?
Dumbest.
I've been around Jack long enough to know that he just made that up.
Well, we also had Mr. Marco Polo as a fashion designer, so...
That is right.
Do you know where the technology for the atomic bomb was, I won't say made, but discovered in...
It's Tennessee, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Knoxville?
Close. Yeah, Oak Ridge.
Yep. Oak Ridge, yeah.
Really?
Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
So the Oak Ridge boys and the atomic bomb both came from the same place.
Yeah.
Ironically, the Oak Ridge boys aren't from Tennessee, but...
Really?
No.
Or Elvira, for that matter.
Elvira was from Tennessee. I met her down in Tennessee once.
And they still have the labs in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
So is it like a museum type thing, or there's actually?
Well, I think they do have a museum portion of it, but not at the lab. They have at a different location, but the labs are still there, and they're considered very top secret, so you can't get in them.
Rucker, do you know that?
It's right up there with Area 51.
But
except this exists, so yeah.
You know. With Randy's knowledge, this is close to becoming an RV type of an intro here. So you better put your A game on.
Okie dokie.
All right, what is next? But isn't it strange that was in 1941, and what, 4 years later, it is put to use?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, and most people probably was hoping it would never have to be put to use.
So, all right, what is next?
I believe we're doing a Rocker rant.
No. Yeah, we are.
Huh? I don't want to do a rant.
You don't want to do a rant?
Oh, I wasn't going to do one anyway, was
okay.
I?
It's Rockers. Rocker.
Is somebody directing traffic?
Rocker, here's a rant topic.
Okay.
The Supreme Court right now is listening to arguments to include the LGBTQ movement in the
title. Civil rights?
The definition of sex.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Includes LGBTQs.
So chances are that's going to be a 5-4 vote. Possibly.
With the outcome.
Rocker's got.
With the outcome being what?
And deciding vote. What you going to do?
Oh, Rocker's the deciding vote. Yes. Oh, I like it.
Put me in those robes.
Huh?
Put me in those robes.
Yep. We'll come up with good stuff then, won't we?
I don't think, as far as the normal gay rights, I'm all for it. It's when you get to the transgender and the confusion of what gender you identify as, and then you got your grandkids going to a restroom, and then you look and you see a guy dressed as a woman walk in, and you gotta wonder. I mean, at some point you gotta put public safety over a person's rights.
I'm with him.
So how does a man going into a woman's restroom affect her safety?
No, it's talking about the kid.
Huh?
I'm talking about the kid, not the person per se.
Okay. So...
And not to say that every, transgender person's a pedophile. I'm just saying, why not be preventative instead of, worry about somebody's, rights?
Okay, let me ask this. Okay, so So you said that you agree with the gay piece of it,
right? Yeah. Okay. The normal, you know, I guess you could call it the normal size. I mean,
okay. So you let me ask you this. I am a devout Christian. I'm a pastor at my church, and on the side, I have a little business. Okay?
Talk about baking cookies again?
Well,
are we baking cakes?
Yeah. So, should I be allowed to? I mean, where's my freedom of religion?
I've seen that case. I'm thinking, one thing, if you should have the right to pick who you know, I guess, how to say the word, who you, your clientele is, I guess, be the word. But you also got to worry about, you know, are you losing a good portion of business, or are you willing to take that chance? But I don't think by picking who you, by not
your stomach, ain't you? You're watching, no, your words really careful.
Well, I'm trying my best. But by not catering to the gay community, you shouldn't be sued over it. That's what I'm trying to say.
But why? They have the right to have your cake.
Yep. That's right.
Why aren't they allowed to have your cake?
But you can't tell me there ain't a gay bakery or somewhere that they couldn't go to.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can go there, but their cake isn't as good as yours.
Yep.
You got the best cake around.
And, okay, so here's rant number two.
Okey-dokey.
Okay. The Cincinnati City Council voted today to protect people from their, you know, with their jobs and such, based on their hair. Rant on that, baby.
Like bald people?
Well, that you can't be discriminated against because of the...
your hairstyle?
Texture of your hair.
Oh, the texture.
Well, that was one of the words.
So is bald a texture?
Yeah.
I think they're more worried about the, like, the spike hair and the...
dreadlock.
The different, you know...
dreadlock.
Different color hairs, and I'm assuming that's what they're going for, ain't it?
No, they're dreadlocks.
Well,
pink hair, yeah.
I don't know what they're going for, but I think it's geared towards black women. And for a lot of black women to make their hair
well, definitely gotta be very careful.
Used to what people are used to seeing. They have to go through great pains from a treatment standpoint. So there was a lady.
This one got Don Imus off the air for about a few months.
Who was?
This one got Don Imus off the air for about a few months.
Uh-oh.
So we gotta be careful.
That's right. But it's interesting that adds another piece to it. What?
I mean, what's your take on that? Should an employer be allowed to look at a person and say, you just don't fit our culture?
Well,
you're an HR guy from a big company.
You know, if, like, I'm in an industry where I'm greeting customers, and where we greet customers, and we go out on sales calls, and there's a certain there's a certain image that I want to project that we stand for, okay? You know, and so, I mean, to me, I have the right to hire people that project that image, you know? So
you don't use their hair as the reason you didn't hire,
right,
but you don't
right.
hire them.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I mean, the problem is that if you do anything against that person, whether they're, you know, because because they're underqualified, because they're underperforming, then they've got another card to play. You're firing me because of my hair, when it's really got nothing to do with it, you know?
So why wouldn't it? I thought you said that didn't project your image, and now you're saying that doesn't have anything to do with it?
Well, but it does. But if the person has, if they're female, if they have that hair, if they're gay, there's another card for them to play against that employer,
yeah,
even if it has nothing to do with it.
So what if they were a model employee and then they came out and said, I'm gay? Then what do you do? Well, fire them?
No.
You wouldn't hire them.
A model employee, that's awesome.
If you wouldn't hire them because of that, then you have to fire them because of
that. I didn't say that I wouldn't hire them because of that.
Okay.
No.
Sound like that was what you're saying.
I'm saying that I should have a right to hire people who provide the right image.
Mm-hmm. And if they change their image, then you can fire them.
Then I've got the opportunity.
But wouldn't they have to? I mean, let's say if they come out and they don't affect the business sense of Cooper's, you can't really fire them, right?
No.
But if they were to, let's say, mess around with the, like you said, the image of the company, then you have no choice. But most people wouldn't do that, though.
Most.
Wouldn't they?
All you need is one.
Yeah.
I think if they're in a place that the public, like he says, in a position that they deal with the public, and we're after a certain image, then I would think he has the right to reassign that person to something that's not in the public, you know
it is like
a warehouse.
I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about having a policy against tattoos.
Yeah, same deal, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same type thing. There's an image that he
and I don't think that
project.
The word gay ever comes into that conversation, because whether they're gay or not,
right.
I don't think that's it. I think they're talking about if they got tattoos on their noses and, you know, and earrings and everything that they can get in. That's just not the image we want to portray. You know, whether they're gay or not, I don't think that is portrayed often.
Matters,
you know,
yeah.
That doesn't get portrayed as much, so.
I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to play Stump the Rocker. The topic is Fort Recovery icons.
Who have died.
Yes, who have died. And we'll be back right after this.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95. And you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for our New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
At Cooper Farms, we know we would not be where we are today without the hard work and dedication from our team members for the last 80 years. That's why we partnered with Activate Healthcare and made their health and well-being our top priority. All team members enrolled in the Cooper Farms Health Insurance Plan have access to our 3 Activate Health Center locations. There are no co-pays, free lab work, and many prescriptions are free. To take advantage of this, as well as other great benefits, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
On Friday, October 11th, there will be a chili supper before the football game with the Anna Rockets, sponsored by the junior high football parents. The chili supper starts at 5 o'clock, and they'll be serving hot dogs, turkey sandwiches, and of course their great chili, along with desserts and drinks. So be sure to get to the Anna game early on October 11th and get some great food and help out the junior high football program at the Chili Supper starting at 5 o'clock.
Cooper Farms will be hosting its 13th annual Turkey Trot 5K on November 2nd, 2019 at 10 a.m. with all proceeds benefiting State of the Heart Care. Kick off your November with a cool morning run or walk with hundreds of your closest friends. Water and refreshments, including a turkey meal, will be provided to all participants after the race, along with door prizes announced throughout the event. To register and find additional race information, visit CooperFarms.com and click the sign-up banner at the top of the page.
We're back. Inside, Jack Stogler, Randy Diller, Rocker Bonneville, and we're on to Stump the Rocker. Rocker, we have... The topic is... years that Fort Recovery icon passed on. Okay.
Oh, Rocker, you're in trouble now.
Okay. So, we have five of them. Okay. So, Randy, you have to write your answer down. Okay. The first one is Adam Beach. I don't think there's any doubt Adam was a Fort Recovery icon. What year did Adam pass away? The second one, Nell Franklin. Former mayor. Classy lady. The third one, General Arthur St. Clair.
What year he died, huh?
What year did General Arthur St. Clair die? The fourth one to go along with that, Matt Anthony Wayne.
Matt Anthony Wayne was never in Fort Recovery. He named the fort, but he was never here.
Yeah, but he drove by.
Drove by?
Yeah.
On the train?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the fifth icon that passed on, when was the last year that the Fort Recovery Journal was published?
Ooh, 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 I know.
I have no idea. It was before my time. That was before my time.
Yes, it was.
Well, this would be close.
So how you feeling about this, Rocker?
The three and the four, I'm pretty sure I'm out, but the other ones will be dicey, close.
All right. The first one, Mr. Adam Beach passed away, Randy?
2006.
Randy?
I went with 2003.
I went with 2001. I should know that. He was basically, he thought that I was his son.
Is that?
Yeah, he thought I was.
2006.
Six. That's good, Randy.
Ask me how I know that.
How do you know that?
I walked by his tombstone the other day.
Is that right?
Yes. We buried somebody up there right behind him, and I happened to walk by and say, geez, he's been gone since 2006.
Yeah.
He deserves a stamp.
Yeah.
Randy won. Rocker, nothing. Nell Franklin, Rocker.
I went with 2000, year 2000.
Randy?
I said 1999.
I had 2000 originally. I changed it to a later date. I said 2008 because I thought, well, that's too close to my 2001 for Adam Beach.
2007.
Oh, I was really close.
So Rocker wins that. Oh, you're lucky. You weren't very close. General Arthur St. Clair.
Oh, God.
No, not God.
I said, oh, God.
Okay. General Arthur St. Clair. Randy?
I said 1800.
1800. Rocker?
Well, I went with 1825.
I went with 1801. 1825 is way off.
1818.
Whoa. He is closer.
He is closer.
Rocker
wins another one.
Wow, I didn't. I thought
the
that
streak
was.
Streak is going to live.
I thought 25 was off by at least 20 years. I thought he died within 10 years of when he was here.
Matt Anthony Wayne. You know, the thing about General St. Clair, is he died in poverty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. He'd had a whole bunch of property. He was well-to-do and...
didn't have a pit to pass on.
Okie dokie.
So, Matt Anthony Lane, RD.
I put 1835.
I was 1840.
I was way before that, and I'm pretty sure I am way off. I had 1812.
1796.
Way off.
Was wow. One.
Whoa.
That was a push on that one.
So I beat him.
Huh?
I beat him, though.
You beat him.
I was only off 39 years.
Oh, wow.
So that was...
wow.
You know, he's buried in two different places.
No, I'm pretty sure he's not.
Yes.
I mean, he's actually buried in two places.
He's actually buried in two different places.
He can't actually be buried in
two places. Parts of him.
Parts of him can be, but he can't be.
So...
he could have been exhumed and buried in the second place, but...
so how's he buried in two places? Okay. Tell us about that, Jack.
So, he had gout really bad and yeah. died and was buried in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And his son, I think it was 11 years later, you know, went to and wanted to bring him home. But he...
where was home?
He was planning on just bringing like a skeleton home, but the body was in such great shape that it wouldn't fit in his horse and carriage. So they actually boiled his body to get the meat off the bones, sent the bones back, and the meat stayed there. How about that?
If people are
hopefully nobody's eating out
there. Yeah, that sounds hokey.
That came straight from the internet.
Well
this, all right, then.
This portion of the show brought to you by Campbell's Soup.
Yeah, so, I mean, isn't that something? So.
You had Jeanette, Rocker.
Okay. So the score's tied. So it all boils down to this.
Oh, boy.
The last year, the Fort Recovery Journal was...
see, and Rocker has a big advantage because he was around back then.
I don't think he was.
I don't believe he was either.
Rocker?
I was very little, probably.
I don't believe he was born yet.
What year was the last year?
I'm going to go with 1975.
It's pretty close.
Randy?
I put 1970.
1973.
Rocker wins by a year.
It was either right before or right after we opened Spencer's Drive-In because we didn't get to advertise in the journal.
Is that right?
Yep.
I just knew it was in the 70s.
I think January of 1973 is when I believe that
Rocker
fire was.
Lives.
Do you have the year when that fire was? When the last journal was? Do you have, or the month, I mean?
No.
I think it was January. Yeah. Pretty sure it was.
Congratulations, Rocker.
Survived another week.
The streak continues. RD, let's talk about Fort Recovery.
Okay. Let's do that.
So, it seems to me like just walking through town, driving through town, like we have accomplished a lot this year. Why don't you kind of sum up some of the things that have happened in the past year? Projects.
Well, in the past year, I mean, actually, our accomplishments go back farther than that. I mean, this has been an ongoing thing. But in the last year, you know, we had a lot of things focused in the parks, which has made a huge changes out there. But we also did some things that are aesthetically, you see them. One of those being we resurfaced and restriped all the parking lots uptown. And, you know, people's... it was 1991 the last time that was done.
Is that right?
When we did the downtown development project.
So, wow. That's almost 30 years ago.
That's pushing 30 years. And, you know, we dug through them for the sewer separation project and had trenches and everything else in them. So it was time. But, you know, the story that I like to tell is that back in 91, which I didn't work for the village, then I worked for the bank, but... when we went around and did that project, you know, one of the first problems identified in the surveys we did and talking to people was that we just don't have enough parking in Fort Recovery. We don't have enough good parking in Fort Recovery. We don't have any parking in Fort Recovery. We need to improve the parking. So we've made that a focus of that project, and we were able to do that with some grant money, and we resurfaced all the parking lots, the alleys, and everything. But in doing the project downtown, we actually lost 4 parking spots. So in the scope of this project, we lost 4 parking spots. But because we improved the looks and the accessibility, all of a sudden the parking wasn't the issue anymore. We had no parking. When follow-up surveys went out, thank you for taking care of the parking problems. We appreciate the additional parking. But we actually, in rule, lost 4 parking spots.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of perception. It was in good shape, and people were happy to use it. Yeah. So that was helpful. So that went on. We're still working on improvements out at the lagoons. We did get the composite sampler and an effluent meter installed, which helps us record things. We've continued to work on the water plant. There's another one. The water plant was built in 1984.
The new water plant?
The new water plant was built in 1984. So, the average life of a water plant is typically 35 to 40 years. Now, some will last 60 years, but... Yep. So we're pushing that 40 years. We're at 35 now, pushing 40. And, we intend to get, I'd hate to say a number, but we'd certainly like to get another 15 years out of this water plant, at least. So we continue to make improvements to keep it not only operational, but also providing the product that we need to provide, which is a good.
So, from a water consumption standpoint, as a village, do we use 3 times more than we used 15 years ago? Do we use about the same? Is it?
No. We use more, but not a lot more.
Exactly.
15 years ago, we had no industry that used water as part of their process. The industries, Fort Recovery Industries, is out of town, so they're on their own wells. But in town, we had no industry. And since then, the only industry that we really have that uses water to process, besides the mills a little bit, is CWAs.
Yep.
So, they're using anywhere from 20,000 to 40,000 gallons a day, which is a big user for us.
Yeah.
But that's really the only addition that we've had, per se, over the years.
Water quality. Pretty good?
As good as ever.
I mean, that was what I would think.
Judging. Our plant, with the improvements we've made in the last 5 to 10 years, have made it even better, if anything. I mean, obviously, it's more automated, and we're using, computers to read things and decide what needs to go where and how much, and as opposed to just to
testing it and adjusting it.
So it's coming that direction towards better water quality, and that guy's down there and do a great job. Ryan and Mitch do a great job of keeping that going. So
who runs that water plant?
Ryan Tenn is the utility superintendent, and Mitch Luthold is the utility operator.
What else we got going on?
Also, this year, what else did we do? Talked about the parks a little bit. What we finished up this year in the parks is we had 3 grants going on right now. One was a diamond improvement project, and we actually haven't totally finished that. We will be here in the next month, I think. But that included doing basically all new infills to all the diamonds in Fort Recovery that we're responsible for, municipal diamonds. We also added concrete pads under the bleachers on a couple of the diamonds to make them more accessible for people to get to the bleachers and so forth. And
they put the tops over.
Well, that was a different grant, but we also upgraded the trash receptacles. That was part of what we called the Diamond Improvement Project, and that was a grant through, actually Keith Faber lined that up through the budget. That was the capital budget grant. So we had that. Then we also had a park improvement grant through Nature's Works, which is an ODNR program where we got new bleachers, new signage at the parks and the pools, which you can see when you drive in now, and we got the shade covers all over all the diamonds. Those have been completed. That project is wrapped up and done. We also got a Nature's Work grant the year before that for the pool fence, and we were waiting on the pavilion to get done to replace the Pool Fest because it ties into the corners of the pavilion. So we needed that building to be there before we could finish the pool fence. But it's been done now.
Yep.
And that was replacing an old 1984, when it was also built, 84, and replacing the chain link fence with a nice black decorative fence, which has improved the looks a lot out there.
No doubt, yeah.
So the other things in the parks that got finished up this year is the pavilion, the Cooper Brothers Family Pavilion. What a great facility. We can talk a little bit more about that later, but it's up and running. We're taking reservations. It'll be open up at least through, at this point, we're saying through Thanksgiving, and then we'll close it down for 4 months, and we'll open up around Easter for next year. So it's going good.
Is like that completed? I mean, so is that a finished product?
Yes, to the point of the original design and the original ideas. And we could talk about it as what we're working on now, but we can do it right now.
Okay.
The pavilion was a totally donated project. There was no village funds involved in this whatsoever. And that money was ran through the community foundation. And the foundation themselves was a big donor. Obviously, the 225 funds went towards that building. Yeah. And then, of course, Cooper Family and Cooper Farms stepped in and were a big donor also in that. Along with that, we had numerous other donors. Most of the big donors were the organizations, but we had individuals that bought $500 bricks. Well, that's a decent donation. And, so we ended up raising a lot of money from that. And we actually, by the time we were done and got things finished up, we have a decent amount of money left in that fund.
No kidding.
So everything's paid at this point. Everything's paid. Everything's done. So now that we've been using it for a few months, we've had some suggestions, I'll say. One of the suggestions is, boy, that's a really nice building, but it'd be great if it was air conditioned. Be great if that was air conditioned. So the person that said that to me, I said, well, yeah, that's something we could look at, but if it was air conditioned, I'd have to charge you more money to rent it. And he looked square at the eyes and said, if it was air conditioned, I'd pay you more. So, we're looking at that with those additional funds. That's something.
Well, and then, with the open sides, it's, you really kind of figure that from the 1st of May to the 1st of October, it's going to be an open building. So
it can be. We had some dates out there, and we had some people that rented it on some pretty hot days.
Yeah.
And while they said it wasn't terrible, it was not terrible, because it's got ceiling fans in there, and you got the doors open, and then some breeze is blowing through. It's not, but it's humid.
Sure.
And that's the hard thing. It gets humid in there. And so it's something we're going to consider. The other thing that was brought up after the fact, and is a good idea.
On that, Randy, I was out there for an event on one of those really hot days, and it was a little warm. But if you had to close that west set of doors because of rain, it would have been not as good. So I can see somebody's point, but that's, that's a chance you take on that, and where else are you going to rent, unless you rent an actual hall where everybody wishes they were outdoors if it's a nice day. Yeah.
One offers, that's the advantage to this building, is it offers a little bit of that. If we put air conditioning, it'd offer a lot of choices. Mm-hmm. If you loved the outdoor feel and you wanted to open the windows and it was a decent breeze blowing, and it also has a patio out to the east, which in the evenings is in the shade, and you can sit out there and enjoy it. So it's a good setting. So,
I mean, is it possible you can heat it in the winter and make it a whole seasonal, or?
Well, that possibility exists, and we're looking at that now. We're working with Chad Fowler on some potential for what we would do if we did add air conditioning. Would we add a heat pump to it? And it's got heat in it, but the idea of the heat that's in there is to keep things from freezing, not to heat it so it's occupied. So add a heat pump for a little more money, and with the ability then to heat the building, With heating the building comes other things, though. If you do it in the wintertime, then you also have to make sure that all the sidewalks are de-iced and the snow's removed from the parking lots. And so So it comes with a lot of other steps, which is why a lot of the other area ones don't have theirs open in the wintertime, just simply for that reason. And we were going to try it without that. Now, if we get a lot of requests, that's something we'll consider, you know. And our problem is, you know, we're a fairly small community. We have limited resources when it comes to manpower and equipment to move snow in a timely manner. So if, you know, if it's snowing hard enough, we're out on the streets. We're not cleaning off parking lots. We're not doing those areas. So, you know, we have to weigh all that before we decide that. But it's still a possibility. The other change that we're looking at, and I didn't ever think about this, we put the picnic tables in there that are pretty much non-destructible. You can't hurt them, and they're great picnic tables. We have them in our shelter houses in that park, and we've had great success with them. But this is a little different use. So what we've gotten is some feedback that it's really not conducive for elderly people to utilize a picnic table, especially for any length of time.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to get in and out of them, but then you sit there for 2 hours and, you know, it is hard. And so for a family reunion, yeah, they can all bring their chairs and sit outside or whatever. But that was some of the feedback we got. And we never really gave that a lot of thought for that. So what we're also considering is potentially taking some of those picnic tables out, repurposing them in a different shelter house and replacing them with some tables and chairs and make
that
it
can
a,
you fold up and
or just leave them up all the time and use that half of the building will be tables and chairs. This half will be picnic tables. So we're looking at those options, and the committee will be getting together here shortly to look at those things.
Well, like, there be an oven put in there?
No.
Nope.
If you get into ovens, stove tops, those things, you get into rain, you get into the hoods and the fire suppression, which is a whole different classification and permitting that you have to go through. And obviously at the time we didn't consider it because of cost.
Yeah.
But even if we did have the money, I'm not sure that's the fit for out there. So it'll, you know, it has the kitchenette where it has the microwave and a freezer and a refrigerator and that type of thing, and it's not meant for making food. But we talked about possibly putting a warmer oven in there.
Yeah.
But we'll see about that. So
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes with RD and more stuff on Fort Recovery.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. Here are the Fort Recovery sports coming up the rest of this week. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will host another tough MAC rival as the Versailles Tigers come to Fort Sight Fieldhouse on senior night and will simulcast WPGW's coverage of that match. On Friday, it's football as our Indians host the state-ranked Anna Rockets. Jeff Hobbs and Bill Overload will bring you all the action live, as well as providing the play-by-play audio for WOSN's coverage. They'll start the pregame show around 6:40.
Lots of sports action this week, so get out to all the games you can to help cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get there, you can catch most of the action live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Randy Diller, Rucker, Bob Millen. So we just got done talking about the fantastic things going on at the parks. How about touching on the streets? Are we done with them?
Well, all right. That's one of those areas that about the time I retire, they'll be starting over on what I was doing. So it's a never-ending project. And, you know, obviously Fort Recovery's come a long way when it comes to streets, sidewalks, curbs. But we have a lot of areas yet to do, and we haven't forgot about them. And it's not that we don't want to do them, but they're expensive. I mean, if you do them right, then that's the only way we've ever done them is doing total reconstructions. You know, it costs a lot of money, so you got to piece them out at different times and try to fit in small ones in between them, and that's what we've been doing over the years, and we'll continue to do that. Now, we have some big projects planned, obviously, and if you've read the paper at all or followed along, we've been working on the Broadway and Elm Street projects, which is a total reconstruction of North or East Broadway from Wayne Street to First Street. And then it also includes reconstruction of North Elm from the highway 119 Butler Street up to Broadway, which obviously incorporates a block that is now currently an alley. So we'll be making that a connector through, you know, the idea being, first of all, that those streets are in dire need. Broadway needs fixed up and cleaned up. A few years ago, we did a sewer separation project down it, and we trenched the whole length of the road. Well, we patched it, and then we overlaid it, so it's basically a cosmetic fix, and we know it's not going to last much longer, but it's held up nice now, and the street still looks good, but that's what it was. It was meant to be a cosmetic fix. So our hopes is that we can go in there and dig it all out and rebuild the street right and put curbs, sidewalks, street lights, and everything that we do with new streetscapes. You know, long term, we certainly would like to make it the truck route in Fort Recovery. That's not the way it's necessarily being built because this is not an ODOT project. This has nothing to do with ODOT. So we're done.
So the hope at some point would be that 49 would go straight and then turn up past the post office, kind of.
Yeah, come up to PacSac, yeah.
Come up on Broadway.
Yeah. It would be one curve, and it would be a curve as opposed to a turn. It would be more of a, I mean, even the people going south would have to have a stop sign based on the rules of stop signs. You'd have to have a stop sign there. But you could pull out from that stop sign with a truck and still stay on your side of the middle line.
Gotcha.
And that's really the important thing to make it so you don't have to wait to pull out or cause problems when you do that. So if we can take what we have now, and everybody understands what we have now, you turn it PacSac, you turn it KSC Hall, you turn it the monument down there, all those spots are tough.
Yeah.
And as trucks are more plentiful than ever before and longer and everything else, you know, it's something that we've got to be able to handle a little bit better. So this would be a big change for
that would be huge if you could.
Yeah, and you know, we're not involved in ODOT in this, so it's not a State Route 49 reroute per se. There's nothing saying after it's said and done that we don't petition ODOT to make it 49, which makes sense because we're going to build it to their specs. We're going to build it to everything's to their specs, so we can do that.
Why would they not do that?
I don't know. I don't know that they wouldn't. The fallback would be that we could still make it our truck route.
Yeah.
We could still make it our truck route.
Even if it's not the official.
Even if it's not the official state route. And any trucker driving through town is going to take it, just simply because of the one turn. So that's on our books. We're waiting on one last piece of funding. It got pushed back. Our application got pushed back till January. We won't know now till March. We're very hopeful that that'll get funded. If that happens, it'll still take off next year. That's our plan.
So. I'm going off on a bit of a tangent. So when Kasich was in office, mm-hmm. it was commonly perceived that he somewhat robbed from the towns to balance the state budget.
It wasn't a perception.
Well, okay.
It was the truth.
It was the truth. Okay, so now there's a different governor, different administration. Do you hear, and I know he's only been in there for a year, but do you think that approach is going to change?
It already has.
Is that right?
It already has. He has made it very clear that he wants to work with local communities, whether it be a village our size or a county or a city. He's taken the approach that almost every politician does when they're out there trying to be elected, is that the local communities are where things actually get done. The rubber meets the road. How many times have you heard that statement in the last how many years, as long as Keith's been around him? I mean, that was one of his favorite statements, the local places where the rubber meets the road, and that's where we should be supporting. We need them to have the resources to get the things done. Well, obviously Casey came into a bad situation, and he said, well, I can see right now where we can cut some money and make the state look good.
Yeah.
I can build our rainy day fund back up. I can do all these things.
And run for president.
And run for president. While at the same time saying I never did it by raising, I didn't have to raise any taxes to do it. Well, that's kind of an inaccurate statement, because he created situations where local communities had to raise taxes to cover what they lost from local government funds and other programs. So, he took some. Did it affect Fort Recovery as much? No. I mean, we're a small community, so our local government funds isn't a big amount. Yeah. But, it's just the idea that he felt like he could pull it away from us to give it to the state, and he could. I mean, that was within their rights, but, at the end of the day, to answer your question, DeWine is going the other direction with that, and we see good things down the road from him. So.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back to talk about some of the in progress in 2020 projects coming up right after this.
Choosing the right insurance plan is as important as choosing the right insurance agency. And Fort Recovery Insurance Agency is the right choice for you. We'll bring you inside our fort to protect you and help you recover when you've had a loss. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency will help find the right Ohio Mutual plan for your needs. Start in the right place so you end up in the right place, where we've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us at 888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Here are just a few of the great specials now through this Thursday, October 10th, that Wayne Street Market has throughout the store to save you money. They have 80% lean ground chuck for just $2.99 a pound, or if you want the patties, they're just $3.49 a pound. And they have bone-in pork chops in the family pack for only $1.99 a pound. And all their six packs of half-liter bottles of Pepsi products are just $4 for $12. Check out these great specials from Wayne Street Market, as well as many other special prices on your favorite items throughout their store. You can always count on great prices and great selection at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
Cooper Farms will be hosting its 13th annual Turkey Trot 5K on November 2nd, 2019 at 10 a.m. with all proceeds benefiting State of the Heart Care. Kick off your November with a cool morning run or walk with hundreds of your closest friends. Water and refreshments, including a turkey meal, will be provided to all participants after the race, along with door prizes announced throughout the event. To register and find additional race information, visit cooperfarms.com and click the sign-up banner at the top of the page.
It's time again for the one-of-a-kind auction. It's coming up on Sunday evening, October 20th, at the middle school auditoria, with the doors opening at 5 o'clock. It's only $10 and includes an awesome buffet of desserts and appetizers provided by the ladies of Sci Iota's Eye.
This year's theme is tailgates and touchdowns, and tickets can be purchased at Kalp Pharmacy. Come early to visit with old and new friends and to get a good look at the dozens of items in the live and silent auctions. There's sure to be something for everybody, with lots of items in the raffles, live auction, and silent auction. Unique items from vacation packages in Florida and Indiana Beach to beautifully crafted handmade items, numerous food items from local restaurants, college sports tickets, DeWalt power tools, local vintage advertising items, and a whole lot more. It's always a lot of fun with many great items available for you to bid on, and the proceeds go to the Fort Recovery Historical Society and Project Recovery to help maintain our visitors center. Don't miss this great event, the one-of-a-kind auction, coming up on Sunday, October 20th.
We're back. Insight Village Administrator, Mr. Randy Diller. And so let's talk about the projects that we've got that are in progress, maybe just wrapping up, and then things that we'll be seeing next year.
Okay. The things we're working on besides the Broadway Street, which we just covered, we're going to try to get that in motion next year. We are working on an aeration project out at our lagoons, which is a fairly decent-sized project, and not working out quite the way we'd hoped it would. We bid it out, and we had to reject all bids, so we're kind of back to square one. But, once we get that aeration system installed, along with the curtain project and the hydraulic changes we made to the lagoons over the last 5 years, our lagoons will be in great shape for a lot of years, and that's what we're aiming for. Water plant, we continue to work on things at the water plant. Again, our idea being that we want to keep it running for as long as we possibly can, and efficiently running, not just running, because if it's not going to be running efficiently, we might as well replace it with something that is. So parks, one other thing that did occur this year in the parks is that we did just recently install a security system in community parks. We have a lot of nice
things.
What
a great idea, too.
And that was funded through a grant from the Community Foundation. We certainly appreciate the support they've given us over the years. It's unbelievable. So we can make projects like that possible. Yeah. But we've got 11...
So you say that was funded through a grant from the Community Foundation?
Well, they give out that money every year. So they give a portion of that to the parks every year, and we truly appreciate that. But like I said, we've got a lot of nice things, and we want to keep them nice. And, the best way to do that maybe in deterrence is let people know they're being watched. And if they still do it, then at least we saw them. So we appreciate that. But in the parks coming forward, this year we're going to try to finish up the diamond work. We're actually supposed to be installing the lights starting next week. We're working right now on shelter houses 4 and 5. We're doing a rework with those, putting new side curtains on those. That, again, is money that was given through the foundation, so we're appreciative of that. We're going to look at maybe doing some work to the press boxes in both parks, and we are looking at adding some more lighting to the rec trail. Probably won't happen this, it might happen this fall. It just depends on how things go with some other projects. We do have a progress check going on right now where we're going to be planting an additional 50 trees throughout the parks and on village properties and right-of-way areas around town. That 50 trees will bring us up to pretty close to 200 in the last 5 years that we've planted around town. So, and why did we do that? The biggest reason we did that is we are a tree city. It's called Tree City. And part of that is if you take a tree down, you're supposed to replant it. Now, not necessarily in the same spot, but somewhere in the community, you're supposed to plant it. Well, with the ash borer that went through and a lot of those things, we lost a lot of trees. And so we've been on a program to get back to even. And this will get us back to even. And then we'll just be replacing them as we lose them. Hopefully, we won't have a moth or something come through here that kills another 100 or 150 real quick. But so that's happening. Other stuff going on. We're working on a utility extension program to a property that Cooper's has purchased north of town, which we recently annexed. They're going to be doing some expansion up in that area, and we'll be getting the utilities out to them thanks to a grant from Jared Ebbing's office over at the county. This looks like it will probably move forward with bidding here in the next month and be a perfect project for some contractor over the winter to get done. and be ready for Coopers to hook up to when they're ready. So,
and this is me from a very small sample source, but it seems to me like we have a major winner in Jared Ebbing and what he does.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to weigh what he does sometimes because we're just so used to it. But since he's taken over that office, it has just been unbelievable. And it's not just us. Obviously, Fort Recovery has benefited. But who has really benefited from this over the years is the smaller communities that don't have the resources, the Mendens, the Montezumas, even the Chickasaws and some of the smaller communities that Burkittsville, you know, they don't have somebody to do those things, but he's there to help them get.
Yeah, and it's interesting from that standpoint because the process that he's taken through the hometown opportunities and getting young adults to come back here has really been so successful that communities are kind. Now the problem is we have to build almost communities within our communities that would attract these guys back.
And they're starting that process right now in Salina. I mean, the first one's going to be built in Salina here.
Yeah.
That's a millennial thing. They don't want to come back and buy a lot and build a house. Yes. That's not what they want. They want to live in a community where they got the amenities, the pool, the rec room, the workout room, someplace they can sit around in the evenings and drink beer and talk. And that's what those millennials want. Yeah. That's what they're after. And they don't mind paying for it. They don't mind at all paying for it. So, you know, he's got I don't know how many units, 120 units or something going up there in Salina by the Lynx Golf Course in that area.
But I tell you what, I really think something like that in Southern Mercer County, in the New Bremen-Minster area.
I think you're going to see that happen as the places like Crown and all the place Pratt Industries over in Walpock, as they continue to need more and more employees. And we're not talking about 5 or 10. You know, we're talking hundreds.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to see those types of things have to come around because, and they'll be good investments for people. You know, for a long time, would you have built something like that in Fort Recovery or in St. Henry? No. Yeah. I mean, but now they're putting up a hotel in St. Henry.
Yeah.
I mean, that just didn't happen overnight. That's something that now there's a need. And so that's good.
Hey, Randy. Yes. Question for you. So as you look, long-term planning for our community. Do you visualize an area of more growth as far as factory or nursing home or anything like that? Is that something that 10 years down the road, do we need more land? What's your take?
Yeah, absolutely. And in a long-term planning session, you're going to come up with a lot of different ideas. But what we basically do is identify areas that make sense for us down the road. Now, the problem that we have in Fort Recovery is they're not available. I mean, you can't buy them if you want to buy them. It doesn't matter. The money isn't the issue. You just can't get them bought. Will that change over time? Yeah, I think it will. And we need to be ready when it does. Because it will. At some point, they'll become available, and then we need to jump on it and do our planning at that point for what it exactly is going to be used for. And, you know, we envision, I mean, it's no secret, we envision housing going east. I mean, that just only makes sense. It's away from industry. It's away from floodplains. It's away from a lot of things. That's where the new housing developments are. You know, industrial growth could go either direction. You know, it could go north, could go south, you know, so there's some potential there. But again, availability becomes the issue. You know, the thing that's really been hardest for us to identify is where do we get commercial growth? I mean, if you look at our downtown, without tearing down more houses and going that route, you know, what do you do? And then do you take the opportunity like some communities have and start areas like out at Dollar General and Ace Hardware where you have strip malls and you have, that's not part of your downtown, but it's part of your community. Do you do that? You know, there's been some reluctance to head that direction, but I don't think, long term, I don't think you end up with much choice. I mean, if you want that growth, you're going to have to make that decision. So those are things that we obviously look at all the time. Way engage how we can go about doing it. You know, right now the village has about 4 acres under their control in the industrial park. And, you know, that's obviously
not very much.
Well, you know, for a big project, it wouldn't be enough. For a lot of projects, it'd be perfect. You know? So, yeah, it's still there. You know, we've changed the way we go about selling those now. We don't sell them unless somebody has a specific project in mind and is ready to move forward. And if they don't do that,
An investment for some company. It's
or individual or anybody. You know, we want it to be used for that growth purpose for the community. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a 100-person job factory. It could be a 10, because look what JR has done. You know, that started with 2 people, and, you know, where are we at today? So we're not necessarily looking at the current, but we want the potential. So, you know, we continue to look at that, and, you know, we're always looking.
Yeah.
And the planning is there. You know, we're ready. You know, we've done the planning with the things that we can control, and that is our utilities. How are we ready for our utilities to grow in those directions? We're ready. I mean, we are ready. Obviously, if there's much growth to the north, and it may happen here sooner than later, is that we're going to need to add another water tower to our system. That's really the last cog to our water system, is adding another. Right now, we don't have the need. From a water perspective, we don't have the need to have that much water stored in the air. But at some point, that will be an issue, and the system design says it needs to go up here, so we have everything coming back towards town. So we've planned it. It's just a matter of when you pull the trigger. And like so many things with a small community, you have to rely on the opportunities that are provided to you through grants, programs. So, you know, somebody says, well, why have you been sitting on that? Well, because until it happens, I can't get the money to make it happen, you know? Yeah. So it's...
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take one more break. We're going to come back and wrap things up and touch on the important stuff, which is Halloween, when you're picking up my leaves, and talk about the income tax and how that's doing too.
Okay.
So we'll be back right after this.
Forge Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forge, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forge Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forge Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
At Cooper Farms, we're building a culture that makes us more than a workplace. We believe that producing quality products, giving back to our communities, and taking care of our team members are all part of our foundation as a company. We want to see our team members succeed, and that's why we pride ourselves on promoting from within the company. We believe giving our team members all the tools necessary to grow with us is what will keep our tradition moving forward. To join the Cooper Farms family and experience a culture like no other, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95. And you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for our New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
Fort Recovery Merchants and the Fort Streetcar Classics Car Club are having their fall cruise in on Saturday afternoon, October 12th, on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery from 4 to 8 p.m. Slick and Rick will be spinning the classic tunes, and there will be a couple of hundred of the coolest cars ever made. Make plans now to head up to the Brick Street for the Fall Cruise Inn on Saturday, October 12th from 4 to 8 p.m. The Fort Recovery Firefighters are having their famous all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday morning, October 13th from 8 to noon at the Fire Hall. Sausage, pancakes, and omelets custom made by your firefighters, all you can eat. All the proceeds will go toward new and updated equipment and building upgrades, and it's a free will donation. Don't miss this great breakfast. Head on down to the Fire Hall on Sunday morning, October 13th from 8 to noon for the Fort Recovery Firefighters' famous omelet, pancake, and sausage breakfast.
Well, the people that have them are keeping them under tight control, like they need to have them for friends or something. And
yeah,
because Ryan was telling me they called around to the people that had the, they call them their ticket mules, called around and said how many tickets you got left, and he said there wasn't anybody that had more than a couple. And even them said, well, I got people that are wanting them, but I haven't seen the money yet. So
you guys on?
Yeah, I said you're on after the firefighters thing.
Oh, hey. Welcome back. Insight. Sexo.
We're on.
Randy Diller. And so, you know, there's a question. We talked about Governor Kasich's finances versus Governor DeWine's. So we've also got a local income tax. How's that doing?
It's doing okay. It was really an irony situation, and it's kind of indicative of the type of community we have. From the time that income tax started, back in the early 80s, I believe, till now, it's continually
grown.
I mean, it's just continually grown. Through the years that they considered the recession here 5-6 years ago, were our best years ever, without a question. Went up. And so since then, we've actually came back down. Now, last year, they changed how some of the income tax is collected and stuff, so it, trying to compare one year to the next isn't always the same. But now, after last 2 years, which we're back to a normal years, we're growing again. Yep. So we're not up to the level we were 5 or 6 years ago, but
at least 2 hours.
But it's... we consider it good. We consider it good.
I mean, well, and it's stable and it's steady, and you know, I mean, yeah, you know, it can fluctuate a bit, but
you know, there's a lot of factors that go into that. You know, the withholding is, we look at it, 'cause that kind of tells us our employment situation in town. You know, as long as the withholding stands steady, you know, and just out of normal inflation rates, it should go up every year a little bit, you know, so you want it to be going up. And it has. The withholding has stayed pretty good here the last couple, 3 years. Now, we went way down after, you know, there were some drops in employment at different factories here in town. And so it went way down, and then now it's going back up. It's going back up. And we're happy about that. But the other thing that you really can't control, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, we talk about this at council meetings, it's not necessarily a bad thing, is part of that income tax collection is net profit tax from businesses. Well, if they're not claiming a business or a profit, it doesn't mean that they didn't make a profit. It might mean that they spent it by building another 200,000 square foot building out there that in the long run will come back to be more important than that income tax would have been for that year. So you gotta weigh all those things, and you keep an eye on it, but you...
Sure.
So, yeah, we're fortunate. We've got good industry here in Fort Recovery, and it is steady. It's very steady.
So. Randy, when they implemented the income tax, whatever that was, it was a little bit controversial. I think, am I right in thinking that a public entity couldn't do an income tax until 20 or so years ago? And then when we started doing it, that's where we got a lot of the money to help with our infrastructure and our streets and that kind of stuff. Is that?
Well, I think that
I don't remember years and years ago there was no such thing as a village income tax.
Right. It's been around for a long time, but a lot of communities didn't go to it right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I don't know about when I wasn't in town when Fort Recovery started theirs. But, you know, I know there was some controversy about it because it's, you know, communities are permitted to put 1% on and not have to have a vote. If we go above that 1%, we have to take it to the voters. So when they put the 1% on, it was the taxation without representation type of discussion. And, you know, but, you know, the bottom line is you voted those people in there to do what's best for Fort Recovery. And now they're trying to do what's best for Fort Recovery. And, you know, it's not going to be always popular, but it, you can go to another example of that is, you know, it wasn't real popular when they bought the industrial park.
Yeah.
But what would we be doing without it right now?
Yeah. You know? Well, the first few years wasn't very productive.
No, it wasn't. Park. And it took the right person and the people to get it going. And then when they did, you know, here's what we got is a full park, two full parks actually now and growth. So, you know, it isn't always popular, but.
Right. And somebody that I had talked to years ago that was so dead set against the income tax because it was all going to get wasted told me about 10 years ago that was the best thing that ever happened because now we're not chipping and sealing our streets. We're actually fixing the underneath and paving the streets.
You're always going to have those people. And I still
hear it takes money.
I still hear from a couple people fairly regularly that we don't need to fix our streets. There's no reason they have to be nice. You know, what's the big deal? So you have those people that believe that, and that's okay. Just that that's not the majority belief. So, you know, we're not going to listen to him because he says, just let it go to stone. I don't care. You know?
So before we call it a night, let's touch on a couple of important dates or plans. From a leaf pickup, brush pickup, what's going on there?
Well, the brush pickup's something that I have to remind people. Now I realize, you know, you're not going to keep this in your memory, but we have had brush pickup for probably 10 years or better now. The curbside brush pickup. And we've done it on the same day ever since we started. We've never changed. But people can't get that straight. They can't figure out when it's brush pickup. It is always the first Monday of every month. And if that falls on a holiday, we'll do it on Tuesday. Or if it's raining on Monday, we'll do it on Tuesday. It's that simple. It's the first Monday of every month. So, you know, this last month we had a pile show up on Thursday after Labor Day. Well, it's going to lay there for a month, you know. So
and what qualifies as brush?
Well, typically, it would be tree trimmings. You know, you can get some bigger shrubs that actually have, you know, sticks to them.
Yeah.
But we will not pick up shrub clippings, those types of things. So, Jack, don't put it out there because we're not getting it. That's what they make the yard waste bags for.
Okay, gotcha.
The leaf pickup will get started here probably, I don't know, next few weeks, I would guess. We'll start seeing leaves coming down. And we've kind of changed our tune a little bit on that. Is we always told people not to put them on the streets, put them up on top of the curb or up in the grass.
Nobody listened
anyway, but at the end of the day, it's actually easier for us to get them out of the curb than it is off the grass. So once we figured out that it's not only easier, but we're going around enough and every day almost during that it doesn't become an issue. Our concern was that if we get a big rain, you're going to flood out the streets because of the leaves. But that hasn't become an issue because we go around enough basically every day once leaf season starts. We make the rounds and pick up what's out there. And so we're not against people leaving them in the curbs now. That's okay. You do take the risk that somebody will drive through it and throw it all over the place back up in your yard. But, hey, you know. And if it's up on the grass, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
We'll get it either way. But so starting sometime later this month, we'll be going around. And like I said, it'll be about every day.
And then what's the timing for your crew to come and clean out spoutings?
That should start like almost never.
I could really use a guy like that. So, well, anything else anything else to wrap up our deal?
You'd mentioned dates. We got a couple things going on yet in Fort Recovery this month, kind of wrapping up our year. There's a cruise in this Saturday uptown. Doesn't sound like a very good day for it right now, but who knows, you know. The one-of-a-kind auction, which happens now 18 years of it, is October 20th out at the school. Always some interesting items on that for sale, so we appreciate people's support for that. And then, as you said, the Halloween parade, trick-or-treat, is October 27th on the Sunday, as it always has been. So.
Fantastic.
What are the hours on the trick-or-treat?
Trick-or-treat's 4 to 6. The parade is at 3:30 from the school to Vantrees Park.
Yeah, I think they line up at 3:15 at the school and start the parade, something like that. Yeah, so, yep, whatever it's always been, that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, R.D., I always learn a lot when I sit with you.
Well, I got school tonight by rocker, so.
No, by the hair of his chinny chin chin.
Hey, you know, it's a win to win.
A win's a win.
So. Just ask the Brownies.
You know, and if they want me to sit here and talk sports, I can do that, too.
Hey, I'd say they'll be looking for a guest. So we'll talk Indians baseball.
That's over.
Browns football.
That's getting to be over.
That's getting to be over. So, for insight, for Jack Stogler, R.D.,
Rock.
R.B.,
R.B.?
R.B. and R.D., we'll be back next week. Later. Bye.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.